question, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? And it's important to remember that in the Bible, an enemy was one who ignores God's ways. This ancient book of Psalms, written over centuries, so very long ago, still feels surprisingly modern, doesn't it? Because we could ask the same questions of God. How long before you answer me, God? How long before I feel better, God? How long before the world feels better, God? Our questions are sort of like annoying knots in a fishing line. We keep picking at them because they are so stubborn and tight to unravel. We could just cut the line above the knots, but they always come back, those questions, don't they? Psalm 13 is a lament psalm. Lament psalms are prayers, typically prayed by people who experience grief and anger and who long for healing. Lament psalms aren't just whining, they are bold prayers. The lamenter has no doubt that God can save, if only God can be persuaded to do so. So far we've talked about lament psalms and Psalm 13 in particular, the how long psalm we could call it. Now I want you to stretch your mind and soul a little bit more. Cast a little wider, if you will, and think about other times when you cry out to God, how long? I'm not talking about times of pain now. I'm talking about times of unknown. For example, how long will I live? How long will my children listen to me? How long will my church survive and thrive? These how long questions are not so much about untangling knots in a fishing line. They're about tying knots, about taking that slippery line and trying to tie a secure knot, to hold ourselves to the traditions to which we are grounded, to be the hooks so that we can catch the fishers of people, be the fishers of people that Jesus called us to be. Now let's go back to that last question for a moment. How long will my church survive and thrive? Because that question is actually part of our summer homework. One of our congregational assignments while Tor is on sabbatical is to study this book by Diana Butler Bass. The book is called Christianity After Religion. Now let me start by reassuring you that the author of this book loves the church. She studies churches and she has discovered vibrant congregations across America. Churches like Bethel First Lutheran. Nevertheless, Diana Butler Bass begins her book by saying that religion is drastically changing in America. No big surprise to us, eh? Our numbers are declining in ways they haven't declined for generations. The first two chapters of this book name some reasons why this is happening. And two big reasons stand out. Number one, all institutions are facing dwindling numbers as our culture changes. The opera, the newspaper, the church, everyone is trying to figure out how to do this. Technology has changed the way we think and the way we act and the way we do business. Secondly, we have evolved from a culture of duty to a culture of choice. In the past, the understanding was that one dutifully worshiped on Sunday morning. And now, there are myriad choices about how to spend this time. So why do people choose not to go to church? She studied that. Major themes include boredom and anger. The author says that people feel a painful and profound disconnect between what some churches teach and what real life is like. So many questions this morning for the psalmist, for the church. How long, O Lord, before things change even more? How long, O Lord, before we remember we are not alone? Let's go back to Psalm 13 and look at the final verses. This psalm, Psalm 13, does what most lament psalms typically do. They end on a positive note. Somehow, between that anguish in the beginning and this comfort at the end, the lamenter becomes convinced that God has indeed heard his or her cry for help and will indeed act on his or her benefit. Wait a minute, what? The psalmist starts the psalm by expressing this very deep pain and then suddenly proclaims God's help. I want to know what happened. What's in the middle? What's in the disconnect? The one in the psalm, the one in the church. I would dare to say that's what's in the middle is prayer. That's what connects the first half of the psalm to the second half. Remember St. Hilary, one of the fourth century Christian leaders, said, "Everything that seems empty is full of the angels of God." It will be prayer that gets us from the unknown of now to the unknown of the from the known of now to the unknown of the future. It will be prayer with words like "how long" that moves us on, because how long is a prayer? As long as we address the words to God and faithfully listen as a whole community of believers to God's answers. I have one more fishing story on this Father's Day in remembrance of my dad, Bob Carlson. When I was a kid, our family went to Webb Lake in northwest Wisconsin for a week every summer. And when we got there, my dad and my brothers fished morning, noon, night. We didn't see them for hours, except in the evenings when they suddenly came looking for my sisters and I to see if we wanted to go fishing. Actually, they didn't want us to go fishing at all. They wanted us to row the boat very slowly so that they could cast for the evening fish. And sometimes I would say yes, because I realized that there was something I loved out in that boat. When my dad and my brothers cast their bait out onto the lake, there was this high-pitched zing sound of that worm or that lure flinging through space before the click of it landing and the reel being set. Today's psalm, Psalm 13, this summer's book, Christianity After Religion, they invite us to fling our how longs out across the waves, knowing that Jesus will come walking there and carry our prayers. Amen.